Welcome into the Pick Aside podcast, week 7 of the NFL. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki with you as always. Tyler, before we get to the week 7 board and all of the action in the NFL this weekend, which is, by the way, I think by far the most difficult NFL board we've seen yet this year.
Yeah, light card for me this week.
Same. Before we do that, one, thank you, Virginia Tech. 1-0 in college. That's a great place to start. Two, I am adding a 15th college play.
Oh, no.
I'm going to do this very quickly.
I saw you pop something up on action yesterday.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was?
Was it Florida State?
It is. This is for the people who are willing to get very gross and very dirty with their lives. Florida State catching 3 from the Duke Blue Devils at home. And if there is one thing that should never be the case, it is Duke football being a public favorite. I'm out. Florida State's made a quarterback change. It is this kid Brock. Great. Their offensive line after a bye week has been a little bit retooled. This is the buy low of the century and the sell high on a basketball school getting lined as a public favorite in football. Don't do it. Bet Florida State. Now, if you don't want to tail me because this is gross garbage and you have better things to do on a Friday night, all good. One last thing before we get to the NFL. Did you watch Yankees Guardians?
Oh, yes, I did.
I would just like to put on full display the fickle nature of gambling. Guardians go up 2-1 early. I see the Yankees flash as a big plus money underdog. And I think, you know what? Why not?
Playoff baseball, right?
Soft throwing lefty. Yeah, look, this is fun. I want to have a little wager on the Yankees. So I play the Yankees plus money dogs live down 2-1. They go down 3-1. I hit a little double dip action. This is going to be an even better number. Let's put a little tiny amount of money, just like a quarter of a unit. Have some fun. Let's party. They can win this game, right? Class A is a fucking blow-up doll right now. Let's do it. What happens in the 9th inning? Class A, ejection seat. Aaron Judge with Juan Soto on base goes oppo. Home run. Let's go. We're on the board. Giancarlo Stanton goes back to fucking back. Steven votes challenging if he touched first base. It's a total meltdown in the Cleveland dugout. What a fucking loser, by the way. You just got back to back with your closer and you're challenging if he touched first. Get a grip. They didn't deserve what happened later in the game. Because what happens in the bottom of the 9th, Tyler? Big Christmas. John Kenzie Noel steps in, ties the game with a 2-run homer. Okay, all good. Yankees will take care of business in extra innings. Nope. Because David fucking Fry, who is my personal nemesis at this point, 8 days ago, David Fry steps in as a pinch hitter in the 7th inning, down a run to the Tigers in an elimination game for Cleveland. What does David Fry do? On a 2-strike pitch, he hits a 2-run homer. Cleveland's got the lead. They never look back in the series, and my heart is on the ground, just crushed. Last night, with me holding Yankees at big numbers live, David Fry doesn't start the game, steps in the 10th inning, and hits a fucking 2-run nuke. I'm very happy for him, but I have been fucked twice in 8 days by David Fry. And Tyler, I didn't ask to be fucked by David Fry.
He's your Daniel Murphy. Bullshit. He's your Daniel Murphy, man.
It was funny as I'm angry today because I just remind myself that Steven Vogt challenged touching first on a home run. That is the most Bush League move you can ever do. Like, just save yourself the moment, especially because you lost the challenge.
You want
to
know
a joke?
I've got a little challenging of the runner stepping on a base story for you here.
Oh boy.
So I was not participating in the game. It was just in my town. All right. There was a grand slam in our World Series, a House League World Series, grand slam over the fence. Like, kid got all of it. All right. Goes around, touches all the bases, or did he? The second baseman tells the pitcher, "Hey, throw it to me at second." He missed second base, steps on the bag, and this 16-year-old umpire calls the kid out. wipes off the grand slam. And the kid's dad was so livid. It got so far out of hand that they canceled the Glenview House League World Series for that year.
Oh my God.
It was like game one or two. I think they played like best of three or best of five. They canceled it because the kid's dad was just too much of a liability. He was, I think, banned from the youth baseball league, everything. It was a disaster.
I want that rule erased from Major League Baseball, from all baseball, to be honest. If you connect and it goes over the fence and somebody appeals that you didn't touch a bag, that person's a loser.
It should be like the intentional walk, right? Where we used to have to throw the four pitches. Now we don't. We just accept it for what it is. I think the home run should be the same way. That ball goes over the fence. Sure, take your glory trot, but you don't, if you miss a bag, touch the base, first of all, but like.
Yeah, of course. You got to touch the base, but like Stanton just did not miss first base and votes like, oh, we're going to challenge this. A total meltdown. Yeah, they didn't deserve that game.
That's reeling right there.
And I'm just tired of being fucked by David Fry. I haven't asked for this. Not once. Not once. You know, He's not even buying me dinner. He's taking money off my table.
The White Sox have really fucked up these playoffs. Like, the fact that Cleveland's still standing here.
What a joke.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's get to the NFL. I had nowhere else to get that off my chest, and it just displays how fickle gambling is and playoff base, because I was on such a cloud.
You're on the side of that too. Like,
I know. And then David Fry I'm tired of being fucked by this guy, Tyler. I'm sick of it. I feel like his wife, and I'm not married to him. I get no benefit. This is stupid. All right, let's go to the NFL. This slate is so brutally difficult. I do not actually know what you do with it. So New England is a 6-point dog in Jacksonville to kick off the slate in London. Everything in my body tells me take the 6 and take New England. Drake May looked good against Houston. Jacksonville, their defense blows. I don't even think they really get an advantage from being in London for extra days because they're just not very good. One problem, New England is incredibly public. 78% of the bets make up 70% of the money. There's no way I can back Jacksonville laying almost a touchdown with as bad as they are. And what do I think about public dogs? You can't bet them. So I'm just going to stay away. This is going to be the theme for me in the vast majority of games on this card. I have no interest in any side.
I'm 100% with you here. New England hasn't covered a closing line since week one against Cincinnati when they outright won the game there. And listen, yeah, Drake May looked pretty good last week, but do you really trust a rookie making his second start of his career in London? Make him go across the pond. Hey, Drake, don't forget your passport when we go to our next game. Like, that's something that I have no interest in getting involved with here. This is an easy pass for me.
All right, let's just keep it moving. Then Miami at Indianapolis. Guess what I'm doing here?
Pass.
Dolphins, you know what the deal is at quarterback. You're getting nobody. Indy, Anthony Richardson, supposedly will start. We know what he is, a turnover machine, inconsistent. You're going to get flash plays. You're also going to get plays where you look at him and go, that's the dumbest fucking throw I've ever seen anybody make. Colts are a 3-point favorite. I kind of lean towards the Dolphins, but again, you got about split tickets on the bets and only 28% of the money on the Dolphins. It's not a side that I want to be on. I will tell you, there is a money line parlay, 3 underdogs that I want to give you at the end. This game might be involved. One of the sickest, most degenerate things I think I have ever cobbled together. But I'm taking 3 dogs that I would otherwise like to bet and just packaging them up. And if it hits, I'm in a beautiful spot. Go ahead. Anything on Dolphins, Colts?
No.
This game's still fucking gross.
Yeah, this is awful. I will say this, though. If we get the same news that we got last week.
Joe Flacco?
It's Flacco, and Richardson was trending up all week and then all of a sudden not playing, which is the same spot we're in right now. I will play the Colts with Joe Flacco. I cannot play the Colts with Anthony Richardson. I just can't.
In fact, so much volatility.
He is one of the most unbettable players in all of football right now. He is, because, like you said, you're going to see him uncork a 60-yard bomb in all likelihood, especially against this Dolphin defense. You're also going to see two of the worst interceptions you've ever seen in your life.
Yep.
Joe Flacco, I would roll with him because the way that he has elevated some of his receivers, Michael Pittman looks great with him, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs. It just feels like he's getting the whole offense involved, and also some uncertainty at running back right now. Is it going to be Taylor? Is it going to be Sermon? By the way, Trey Sermon is awful.
Yeah, he stinks.
But Jonathan Taylor, I would trust a little more with this Colts team. But for right now, it is a pass on Indianapolis because I don't think they are starting the better quarterback.
And by the way, this is not like a sweeping indictment on Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson can still be a good player. He can be an elite quarterback. Like, those things can happen. It's just, in 1 week with the Colts laying 3 points at home, is that really the quarterback you want to put your money on? And the answer is no. In mid-November, if Anthony Richardson's on fire, I'll start to look at the Colts a little differently. Just right now, he's way too inconsistent for anybody to back, in my mind.
Colts defense, atrocious. Say what you want about this Dolphins offense right now in the state that it's in, but screen
pass, weapons.
Screen pass to Tyreek Hill on a fast track in a dome. He can't take that thing 60, 70 yards. He certainly can.
They got Achane healthy again. Like, this one to me, if Anthony Richardson's the starter, it's Dolphins or pass. I'm with you. If Joe Flacco's the starter, I get interested in the Colts, especially if it moves the line at all towards, like, if we get a 2.5 with Joe Flacco as the starter, I'm in. 3, I'm a little sketchy. Keep it moving. Seattle, Atlanta. Atlanta, a 3-point home favorite. Seattle going west to east. And at first, I felt like this was an Atlanta spot with Seattle going on the road, all the travel. And then I looked again at the money disparity. And maybe I'm an idiot because this keeps scaring me out of things that I want to do. But Seattle getting 56% of the bets, 76% of the money. Is it really that easy that we just follow the money and take a 3-point dog? Because here's my other problem. Last week was one of the greatest weeks in the history of the NFL for public sides.
Yeah.
They won at an unbelievable clip. It has never happened the way it happened last week. You and I were beneficiaries of that. My fear is that doesn't happen 2 weeks in a row. Vegas comes back to collect. These casinos and these sports books, they're not in the business of going broke.
Yeah. The money stuff there kind of scares me, but I do like Atlanta and the 3 here. This is a complete indictment pick on Seattle, too, who has looked terrible the last couple of weeks. They're allowing over 35 points per game over the last 3 weeks. On the flip side, Atlanta is scoring 33.3 points per game over the last 3 weeks. I am playing Atlanta in this game. Maybe the better play here is the Atlanta team total over instead. That way, even if they lose the cover or lose the game, you can still go over on the team total. I just don't trust the Seattle defense right now. They're dealing with injuries, and it's difficult, too, when you're a defensive-minded head coach coming into a season and cobbling together a defense and making them ready. It usually takes, what, at least half the season, if not like a dozen weeks, till they're actually ready to go and feel like they're playing as a unit. So I think Mike McDonald's struggling a little bit with that right now. It will get better, but now is not the time that it does. And it just so happens to be on the road against an explosive Atlanta offense.
The other thing, too, with Seattle, Geno Smith is just not playing good football right now. And last week against San Francisco, that interception he threw at the end with a chance to go down the field, get himself back in the game, and get us a cover was abysmal. Like, he's just not seeing the field well.
No.
And maybe reality is set in for the Seahawks with Geno Smith as the quarterback. It was a fun story, but the idea that he was just going to be a top 10-ish quarterback for the rest of his career, I never really bought. And I think we're seeing that's not going to happen. I don't know if that's a great spot to back Geno Smith going on the road to Atlanta, crossing 3 time zones for an earlier kick, breakfast football for Seattle. I'd like to be on Atlanta. The 3 and the money is scaring me too much. And this week is so difficult. I don't need to stretch myself out. 15 college plays. I'll say this. If anybody's listening is going to bitch that I'm not playing enough NFL or Tyler's not playing enough NFL, we gave you like 20 college plays yesterday. So kindly fuck off.
We played like a fifth of the slate. in college football yesterday.
Yeah, we only talked about 18 games so far. But, you know, I just want to get that out there.
Can I interest you in an Atlanta over 26.5 team total? Big number.
No. I'm too. Mike McDonald is so good. And if this is the week that it sets in and that it clicks, and Cousins, as good as he's been lately, still not mobile, if they start getting home, if they wreak any havoc, you're dead. I'm going to stay away. I'd be more interested in Atlanta laying 3.
I'm going to double up. I'm going to take Atlanta minus the 3 and then a little bit on the team total over 26.5.
There's other stuff on this board that I like more, and I'm going to go with the things that I like and not the things that, like, I'm taking a week where I need to really believe in a play if I'm going to make it. I'm just not doing well enough in the NFL to start spraying the board.
Okay.
Texans at Packers. I love the Green Bay Packers laying 3 at home. Love them. I don't like them. I love them. You've got Houston walking into Lambeau 5-1, swinging dicks everywhere. They feel very good about themselves. You know who else feels very good about Houston? The public. 71% of the bets make up 84% of the money. Oh, is it that easy? Nah, Packers getting healthy up front, getting healthy in the secondary. Jair Alexander's back. Jordan Love looking better each week as he returns from injury. The running game has gained a little bit of consistency. Still not great, but not horrible. Matt LaFleur, I think even with what D'Amico has done and Bobby Slowick has done, you have to give coaching and play calling edge to LaFleur, and you're taking the Texans north and outdoors on grass at Lambeau Field in boring-ass Green Bay. I am laying 3 with the Pack. I love this side.
Yeah, Packers is the side I would lean. I'm actually going to go with the over 47.5. Big number this week, but we saw the deep ball success that Drake May had last week against this Houston defense, and it wasn't just garbage time stuff. It was before the end of the half. It was in this early in the second half, too. And Jordan Love, fourth in the NFL in ADOT right now, average depth of target with 9.4 yards. And I just look at that and say, Jordan Love can replicate the deep stuff here. And just thinking back through some of these other moments throughout the season with this Houston defense, they are a little susceptible to the deep ball. That's not to say they don't have talent in the secondary. They certainly do with Petre and Stingley. And obviously we know what their front four is with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. They can get after the quarterback, no doubt, but I think Jordan Love is playing at a very high level right now, and I think he's going to be able to help this team put up points. And I still think Houston's going to be able to score a little bit. I think they can get to like 21, 24 points in this game. I just think Green Bay is going to live closer in the neighborhood of 30.
Do you have any fear without Nico Collins that Houston struggles to score? Because before he got hurt, he was playing like the best receiver in football. Kind of similar to Mahomes and Rashee Rice, and their offense has been woeful.
It's obviously a huge loss. However, that receiver room is as deep as any in all of football. With Stephon Diggs, who's having himself a nice year. Tank Dell, it feels like this is going to be the spot where he gets rolling, kind of back to where he was last year. And then maybe you get some of the other guys involved a little bit. Maybe a tight end, Dalton Schultz, gets a little bit of an uptick. I've always liked him as a tight end in this league. So I'm not as worried, and Joe Mixon's had himself a nice year when he's healthy. So overall, I still think this offense is going to click. You're missing one of your best pieces, no doubt, but I still think there's plenty of stuff in the reserves that's going to help this team score some points.
All right, over for you. Green Bay for me, Cincy and Cleveland. Cleveland's a 5.5-point home dog. Interdivisional, desperate home underdog. This is always a spot where you want to play the Cleveland Browns. One problem. They're the fucking Cleveland Browns.
You cannot
play Deshaun Watson.
You cannot play the Cleveland Browns right now.
Tyler, you can't bet this game.
No.
If you bet this game, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
Like, you, there is no reason to do it. And maybe this is the week where Cleveland gets right. Maybe this is the week, like, Deshaun Watson from his burner account, Leroy Bickerstaff, whatever the fuck it's called. Nobody will ever convince me, by the way, that that's not Deshaun Watson. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
That's 100% Deshaun Watson. They trade Amari Cooper, and Deshaun Watson takes to his burner and tweets, life's going to be good for the offense, and four now, they got guys who want to be there. Okay. One, I'm not taking Deshaun Watson's word for it. two, if there's any truth to that, maybe this is the week Cleveland gets right. So I'm good on staying away from Cincy. I'm not betting Cleveland ever as long as Deshaun Watson's the quarterback. Like if Stefanski gets on a podium today and goes, we're actually going to start Jameis Winston, I'll hammer Cleveland. But if it's Deshaun, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You cannot play this game. You cannot play the Cleveland Browns. And I don't care how good Cincinnati's been as of late. I think Cincy wins the game. I don't think Cleveland can pull off the victory here, even if Deshaun starts to reinvigorate himself a little bit. But you lose your best offensive weapon. Like, this is a clear stay-away game. I mean, one of the themes I'm going to look for really across the board is teams that made trades this past week, and there were a couple big ones. I'm just staying away in general, whether you were exporting or importing. It does not matter to me. I'm staying away from teams that made trades this week because I want to see what it looks like first.
All right, let's keep it moving to Giants and Eagles. And this one I would like to play. I'm not going to make it official yet. I'm willing to remove it. The caveat is if I remove this game from my card, I have to replace it with something. So you already know I like Atlanta -3. There is a side in this game I think is wildly attractive. But it's a side that's hurt us lately. It's Giants +3.
So it correlates with the play that I have in this game because I like the under 42.5. This number's come down too. Remember when we taped on Monday, it was what, four and a half?
Four and a half.
It's come down to the key number of 3. That kind of scares me a little bit, but also makes me feel a little bit better. I would obviously much prefer this number if it were 3.5, 4. But this Giants defense has really held up their end of the bargain, man. Like, the offense is meh. But heading into this week, the Giants led the league in sacks with 26. Yep. And Denver lapped them last night after they put Spencer Rattler on the ground 6 times. But 26 sacks heading into this week. To me, it feels like it is a gettable Eagles offense. I thought there were going to be some more fireworks last week with the return of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And even though there were splash plays, it just was not consistent enough. Maybe it needs a little bit more time to gel, but this is not the defense I want to try to do that against. I think the Philly offense is broken right now. And right now, this Giants offense is nothing to trust either. Under 42.5 is my play, and it's divisional familiarity.
Okay, so you tell me where I'm missing something, and then I will avoid Giants +3. But if you can't, then I'm all in on it. Here's the cap. Eagles walk into this game after a very ugly win against the Cleveland Browns. Nick Sirianni, fighting with the fans, has to issue an apology midweek because don't need that incident. I don't care if you're right, wrong, or otherwise. Just doesn't need to happen. Nick Sirianni issues an apology. We get news out of New York. Andrew Thomas, one of their best offensive linemen, in a revitalized offensive line, done for the year with a Liz Frank injury. Yeah. Daniel Jones stunk last week. We know over his career, guy stinks. But like you mentioned, Giants defense is a legitimate, like, top 10 unit. They're good. Lions O-line, even without Andrew Thomas, improved from what it was a year ago. They can run the ball a little bit with Singletary. Eagles struggling up front defensively mightily. Jalen Carter hasn't been who they thought he would be. Jordan Davis certainly hasn't. Bryce Huff, been getting that right? Awful. Yeah. He's horrible. They could have kept this on Reddick. He might have still been playing. This Bryce Huff's just atrocious. Back end of their defense, even worse. Like Darius Slay, washed, all these corners. CJ Gardner-Johnson's more bark than bite at this point in his career. I just look at this game and go, I'm getting a divisional home dog +3 that no one wants, and the line is moving down. Opened +4.5 earlier in the week. 84% of the bets make up 91% of the money on Philly. Huh? It's gone from 4.5 to 3 with Earth on Philadelphia. Some A right there. It's Giants +3 for me.
Yeah,
what am I missing?
I can't talk you out of it. I really can't. Like, the only thing is that does the Eagles offense just pop for a week? Because if it's humming, this unit can be as good as any offense in football. But
do they have that fight in them? They hate their head coach. Their head coach hates them.
That's the problem. Like, I just... Saquon revenge spot. Like I'm really grasping at straws here, yeah, man. Like
I'm going to play it. I like it. I really like it. And I hate that I like it because the Giants have just been evil to me lately, but G-men, let's go. New York football Giants.
This is your last ride.
I know. I said that last week, and yeah, then here I am, and I'm like, what a clear fucking spot this turned out to be. I mean, Andrew Thomas dies, and the Giants number moves down. What's happening? I'm in. Yeah. I got to ride with it.
Right.
Lions-Vikings, NFC North game of the week. Vikings at home, 1.5-point favorites. Tyler, this is a unity play. The book is telling us what we have to do.
Yep.
We are betting the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep. I wanted to play Vikings in this game. The number was just too fishy.
But you hate the Lions, so I know you wanted to play the Vikings.
I've played the Lions a number of times this year. You know that.
But there's true hate in your heart about them.
I've talked you into Lions plays this year. Anyway, it's not like I like the Vikings either. I don't like the Vikings either. I hate this team too.
There's hate in your heart for Detroit.
There's hate in my heart for all three teams in the division.
That's fair. You know what? I'm sorry. My accusation was erroneous. Go ahead.
Anyway, Minnesota here, just coming off of a bye week. And I think Kevin O'Connell realizes, like, man, we could really, like, be something this year. And I don't know if he felt that way going into the season. And the way that Darnold has played, the tough spot now for Detroit, trying to rally without your top pass rusher.
Yep.
This offensive line for Minnesota is tremendous.
Yep.
They obviously have the weapons on top of that.
Yep.
And really, like, you can fluster Jared Goff. And I know that this offensive line for Detroit is fantastic, but it hasn't really mattered against this Minnesota defense all of 2024. They've been able to get after good offensive lines, bad offensive lines, and that is a credit to Brian Flores, who should be a head coach in this league next year. It's Minnesota or nothing for me here. I love this play here. It's one of my favorites on the board this week, and I'm happy you're in lockstep with me here because, listen, you're right. The book is telling you what to do with this game.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Aiden Hutchinson. I think that kills them. Unless they trade for Max Crosby or Myles Garrett, I don't think the Lions are a legitimate Super Bowl contender without Aiden. And I keep hearing all these people talk about, well, Brian Branch, he's been so good. They can just get through it with their coverage. Really? Terrion Arnold's been brutal. Rookie corner, he's learning. I'm not saying he's going to be brutal forever, but right now, not great. And what helps the secondary more than anything? A pass rush that gets home. What do you not do without Aiden Hutchinson? Get home. Against those tackles for Minnesota, I don't think the defense has a shot. I like this game both to go over, and I like the Vikings on the spread. Over's mega public. No, nobody is betting the under. So I'm not going to join the people on the under, but I love the fact that everybody's betting Lions, which has typically been a pretty good spot to live. They're like 18-7 against the spread in their last 25 games. It's ridiculous. This is the spot where I think rent is due. I'm betting the Lions and just blind firing. You're talking 80% of bets,
right?
No, I'm saying the people who bet the Lions just blind firing, rents do at some point. Mm-hmm. 79% of the bets, 85% of the money on the Lions without Aiden, like a compromised version of themselves on the road. Gotta be Vikings.
Yeah.
Just has to be.
And Vikings off the bye, getting healthier. Like we know Jordan Addison's been banged up, all that stuff. Like this team, I think, is going to be in a really good spot.
Titans at Bills. Nope. Titans getting 9.5 points. I'm out.
Yes.
I'm immediately out.
Yep.
You see, you flash me a number with a Bills team that should have lost last week and an offense that hasn't looked right in a month, and you give me a 9.5, I'm good. I'm done. And I will not. This is like next level Clemson, New York Giants. I will not bet on Will Levis. He's a totally unpredictable nightmare. Can't do it.
He's like Richardson. He's no different than Anthony Richardson. You just cannot bet on those two guys right now.
Nope. Total sitting at 41, just under the key of 42. No interest on either side. I think it's put about perfect. I'm good. Just the whole game. Just roll it up and throw it away. I
might not even watch.
Speaking of games you can just roll up and throw away, this one I'm more interested in watching, though. Carolina at Washington. Washington's laying 8. Nope. I don't care who you're playing. I'm not laying more than a touchdown with a rookie quarterback. I won't do it.
Need you to talk me out of something.
Oh, fuck. Carolina?
Washington is, as of last night, the most public side on the board right now. Is this defense good enough to be giving more than a touchdown?
No.
The one problem is Carolina has really reeled back to earth the last couple of weeks. Like, they got the Andy Dalton pop the first couple of weeks. Even in the loss, the double-digit loss to Cincinnati, it still felt like that Carolina team was looking better. But they were atrocious against the Bears, atrocious against the Falcons. I'm going to stay away. My lean would be Carolina here, though.
I think you should play it. I don't know if I'm going to join you, but I think you should play it.
You're just going to push me over the edge like that? I'm stepping out. I'm trying to be disciplined here, but nope. Here comes my buddy Shay.
Okay, hey, all right. I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a deal with you. Let's both play this half a unit each.
No. So we're both going down with the ship. All right. I'm all for a unity play. Unity half unit.
You start flashing like CJ Stroud last year had one of the best rookie years ever, and I don't think he covered a single spread north of a touchdown. You start flashing numbers like this with rookie quarterbacks, it almost becomes an auto fade.
CJ Stroud also lost to the Panthers last year, too.
Yeah, so. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the NFL, man. This ain't college. The Panthers players are getting paid too, and they might not be as talented, but let's not act like Washington is some wildly talented team. For all the shit that people talk about Caleb Williams and the Bears just beating up on bad defenses, yeah. What's Washington done? Tell me.
Granted, they
could bomb Carolina just as easily as Chicago did, but you're laying 8?
Yeah.
8?
All right, half unity play. Let's do it.
No, let's not. Let's just stay away. We don't.
What are we doing here? All right, stay away. Make a decision. You're making the executive decision for the group.
We're staying away. We don't need to be angry about losing money on Andy Dalton and Carolina. It's just if you feel like you can lay 8 points with Jaden Daniels. What were the Bears lined when they played the Panthers a couple weeks ago? 4.5?
I think it closed at like 3.5.
And you're getting 8 with Washington? You can never bet Washington. And you got to downgrade Carolina based on what the last couple weeks have been. So whatever you want to do, but 8 feels crazy.
Washington also lost Jonathan Allen, too.
I know.
Like,
we're not doing it. We're not betting the Panthers. We can't do it. We don't need to be angry on a Sunday. And now because we've agreed not to bet the Panthers, they're going to win the game outright. Vegas at the LA Rams. Rams are laying 7. No, thank you. Rams are 1-4 and laying a full touchdown.
This is an easy pass for me.
Like, it's either a pass or you just fucking hammer the Rams and clip your nose and get the fuck out.
The Rams or the Raiders?
The Rams.
Okay.
They're 1-4 and laying 7. You either bet into that or you just stay the fuck away.
Well, the potential for Cooper Kupp to come back this week, too. Yep. That's going to really make this offense go. I think that's kind of been the missing element. Matt Stafford's looking for friends at this point, man. Like, and if he can get Cooper Kupp back, that can really get this offense back and running. Vegas made the trade this week with Devontae Adams. I already told you my stance on teams that have traded players this week. I'm not playing any of the games involving any of the trades. Vegas being one of them, it's an easy pass for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to play the game. I just, if you wanted a lean from me, it would be the Rams. Like, laying 7 at 1-4 is an instant green flag. The fact that Kupp's back, I think on the Raiders side, you probably are going to start dealing with some quit. I doesn't feel like those guys believe much in Antonio Pierce. How quickly did Max Crosby go from Raider for life to wherever I'm playing? Not a great sign for Antonio Pierce, who had like a meeting and then the business decisions, quote, 3 weeks into the season. Well, now you're sitting at 2-4 and Max Crosby feels like he's shopping his way elsewhere, probably Detroit. Good stuff. Like, there's quit on the Raiders side and the Rams are getting healthy. It's Rams or nothing. Just, I wouldn't bet it with your money. Chiefs, Niners, probably the game of the week in the NFL.
Yeah.
3:25 kick. Chiefs are dogs. Tyler, you know my rule. If Patrick Mahomes has a plus next to his name, the Chiefs with him have a plus. You almost have to bet it. I say almost because I'm not. I think the Niners are very much the right side, and for that reason, I'm passing on this game entirely.
Yeah. I have a play. It is not a side. It is a total. I like under 47 in this game. Neither team with really that significant of a rest advantage here, despite the fact that Kansas City's coming off of a bye. San Francisco's coming off of Thursday Night Football. So they've got the mini bye under their belt. Kansas City hasn't played a game in the 40s since week two against Cincinnati. And we know the book on Andy Reid off of a bye. 21-4 in his career. That's the best in NFL history. I'm not fading Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes with a plus next to their name because they very well could outright win this game.
Of course.
And I just think that this Kansas City defense is truly elite and is going to keep them in the game and maybe give them a chance to win at the end. I think this could end up being like a 21-17 type of game here.
20% of the bets make up 26% of the money on the under. I will join you. I'm going to watch this game very closely. Obviously, it's probably the best game outside of Lions-Vikings on the day, on Sunday. I'm going to want something on it. Let's the Unity under.
All right.
San Francisco and Kansas City.
Love it.
Keep on pushing. We're flying. Jets at Steelers. This is one of your injury games. And for me, I am going to play it. I'm betting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. I got Russell Wilson coming back to play quarterback. Now, I don't know what that looks like. But I also don't know what Davante Adams to the Jets looks like. And someone want to explain to me why Davante Adams being traded to the New York Jets moved this from Pittsburgh -1.5 to the Jets -2 briefly. I'm sorry. Are wide receivers worth 4 points now? Especially wide receivers who have a gimp hamstring. They're worth 4 points?
Well, is it a mix? Is it a mix of Davante and Russ likely being the starter? Like I truly wonder what is Vegas's number on Russell Wilson right now.
I can't imagine it's a downgrade from what Justin Fields has been. I can't. Now I get you lose the mobility upside. I get you lose the rushing upside, and I get he's not a great passer, but I feel like he's still better than Justin Fields as far as sitting in the pocket delivering the football. I don't get why Pittsburgh's a dog. And Tomlin as a home dog is one of the most sure bets in the NFL historically. That's where you want to be on him. And the Jets, isn't this just the spot where like every drunk guy going into the sports book is like, Jets got Davante Adams, bro. Let's fucking fire on him. They're good now. Rodgers, dude. No, that's how you go broke. You can't do that. Like, I just look at this and this shouldn't have moved the point spread at all. I don't change how I feel about Pittsburgh with Russ instead of Fields. If anything, I think they're probably marginally better. And getting Davante Adams to New York changes nothing about how I feel about their team. They already had Garrett Wilson going for 100 yards. They already had Alan Lazard going for 100 yards. I missed where offensive weaponry was their problem. Their problem is Tyron Smith looks dead. The rest of their OL stinks. Sauce Gardner can't decide if he's in the play, out of the play, or on the sideline dying. I don't know what the deal is there with the coaching. The defense hasn't been anywhere close to what it should have been. DJ Reed's playing hurt. Like their issues are not Davante Adams. He doesn't fix anything.
Here's another angle for you on this. I initially was going to stay away from this game, but I think I'm swinging your way now. What did the Jets struggle mightily with on Monday night?
Stopping the run?
Yes. Something else.
Kicking field goals?
Yes. What is one of the toughest places to kick? And they've had tryouts all week. It's been a mess in their kicking game. What Pittsburgh is the toughest place to kick in all football?
Arguably? And where's the kicker edge? The dead body of Chris Boswell? The dead body of Greg Zuerlein or Chris Boswell?
Yeah.
I'll take Chris Boswell comfy in Pittsburgh.
Yes, 100% with you here. Right on the Allegheny. I'm going to roll with Pittsburgh here. I'm going to take your side. Tomlin is a home dog, like you mentioned. Good stuff there. So, yeah, I'll join you on Pittsburgh.
Unity primetime. We've got Unity primetime in San Francisco, Kansas City, and in Sunday night, New York and Pittsburgh. We're fading the Jets. Fuck them. I hate them after what they did to me last week. Baltimore at Tampa. This is going to be my last play of the pod.
Same.
Do you want to just get Chargers Zona out of the way first then?
Yeah.
Chargers on the road in Arizona. Arizona's a 2-point dog. They would be the only way that I'd play it. But the Chargers look kind of good. Defensively, they look good. The running game, you know what it is. It's Harbaugh. I'm not going to fade him. and I don't want to bet the Chargers because I think Arizona's the right side, so I'm staying away completely.
By the way, a little PSA for the people on this game. This is an ESPN Plus exclusive. So if you want to get angry about something on Monday night, there is your why.
Extra reason to not bet it. Nobody's going to fucking watch. All right, Ravens at Bucks. Monday Night Football on ESPN regular. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, the way that it should be, goddammit. Baltimore, a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Tyler, are we just being blessed here? Baltimore is getting 70% of the bets, 52% of the money. That is a big cash differential towards Tampa. And this thing's sitting at 3.5. It's Bucks all night. Let's
I'm
go.
I'm so happy
the
you're on the same
show
side
is
as me.
Back.
I am so happy you are on the same side. I was actually having this conversation last night. It was like just kind of perusing the board, and it's like, whoa, Tampa plus 3.5 at home?
Yep.
Tampa's been pretty good this year. They're a 4-2 team. We know they can light up a scoreboard. They're coming off of a game where they put up over 50 points in the game. And the defense, too, like, I just feel like, yeah, you might get run down a little bit by this Baltimore rushing attack here. But I think that Tampa can give it right back to them. Like, they don't even have to win the game. They just have to be within a field goal. Yep. And I think they certainly can do that. This is probably going to be a little bit of a higher scoring game. Tampa's running backs also last week were tremendous. Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker, doesn't matter if Rashad White plays or not. I just trust the weapons on this Tampa team a lot. I don't think they should be a home underdog to just about anybody in the league, let alone a 3.5-point underdog to just about anybody in the league. I'm with you, man. Let's ride with Tampa Bay.
I love it. I'm so happy that we're on the same side there. A lot of unity in the NFL side this week. All right, let's do the cards. We'll wrap this up. This will do it for week seven, in the NFL. Shay, don't wish the season away. All right, for me, it's going to be the Packers laying 3 at home against the Texans. Giants getting 3 at home against the Eagles. Vikes laying 1.5 at home against the Lions. I'm seeing, 47. Chiefs, Niners, under 47. Steelers, plus 1.5. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home, getting 3.5 against the Ravens on Monday night. Six bets in the NFL.
All right. I've got Atlanta, minus the 3 against Seattle. I've got the over in Green Bay and Houston, under in Philly and New York Giants. I've got the Minnesota Vikings, minus the 1.5 against Detroit. I have the under Kansas City, San Francisco, 47, and I've got Pittsburgh minus the 1.5 against the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. And on Monday night, I've got Tampa plus the 3.5.
Good stuff. That'll do it. It's week 7 in the NFL. As always, bet responsibly. Please don't ruin your life. This is supposed to be fun. We'll see you next week. Recap episodes Monday and Tuesday. If you missed the college slate, we broke down 17 games. I gave a fuck ton of plays. I'm being very irresponsible in college. I'm trying to keep the positive vibes moving. I love the college board. This NFL board's a bitch. I know we're light on plays. So if you want more college show yesterday, just scroll up, go find it. This is the Pick a Side podcast. Shane Orling and Tyler Rocky.